Welcome to another OPTIMAL BIO telecast here. The question is, why do we do what we do? I find that our mission statement for OPTIMAL BIO is actually education. John Moody here right near is our lead practitioner of the Charlotte office, and he did a presentation at Grand Rounds this week on who we are and what we do. And we're gonna go over the difference between bioidentical hormones and synthetic hormones. So this is important to understand. Technically, they're both synthetic because they're man-made. But the actual structure function is bioidentical to your body parts is crucial to this. Because when your body recognizes the same, then it has the same mechanism, elimination, and function. So I'm gonna introduce John here. And John, you just lead us the whole thing, your process, how you teach us who we are and what we do.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Brennan. I appreciate you being here. So overview of bioidentical hormone replacement therapy versus pharmaceutical hormones and why we do what we do at OPTIMAL BIO. And so it's all about the molecule. And so testosterone, you'll see here in the figure one, this is exactly what the body makes. This is bioidentical. This is exactly what the body makes. Here is testosterone cyphenate, which is what's commonly used in injections. You can see here that you've got this similar structure to begin with, but you got this extra chain here, so it makes it dramatically different. And over here, you have another form of testosterone, and you can see this extra chain here, and that's what causes problems.
The big thing for that, the reason that chain is added is because when you get injected into the muscle, it sits there as a depot, so it actually stores over time. But it is not a molecule that your body makes naturally, so therefore your body has to eliminate, just like you said.
And so, estrogen. So it's all about the molecule estrogen. Here is E1, E2, and E3. This is what the body makes naturally. And here are synthetically made or pharmaceutical made estrogens. This is E1. You can see this extra chain here. You can see this extra chain here. And you can see this one looks completely different. Now, Dr. Brennan will talk about that one a little bit.
Yeah, the first one there is made of birth control pills. And when you hear about side effects of estrogen, you know, they say, I can't take the birth control pill because it causes nauseous vomiting or things like that. It's because the route orally going to the liver is a different molecule, how your body breaks it down. The one over here, DES, was actually used to help decrease recurrent miscarriage. Because it bound to the receptor sites, it actually increasing the baby, little baby girls that were born and mothers taking it actually had what's called mullary defects. It actually had abnormal uterus shapes called the classical T-shaped uterus, fallopian tube structure. So it led to infertility. Again, it's not the same structure our body recognizes. That's what's important. Definition of bioidentical, as according to the Mayo Clinic, is body recognized as same.
And so bioidentical also is exactly the same molecule your body makes. So it's the same molecule in a 3D pattern. So front, back, and side to side is all the same. And so here is progesterone. And this is natural human progesterone, what our body makes. And here is a synthetic progestin. And you can see this extra chain here. And so bioidentical hormones, they fit into the receptor site perfectly. And so they only act on that particular tissue and what it's supposed to do. And so, you know, a lot of people will use this analogy here. It's like a key going into a lock and fitting perfectly. Well, that's a little bit off because essentially what it is synthetics or pharmaceutical hormones actually turn on too many receptors when they should not. And that's what's so important.
I love that. Back to the progesterone we talked about. Natural progesterone has been shown to lower breast cancer, lower dementia, and lower heart attack risk. Synthetic, you know, it binds in the same receptor site like your skeleton key there, actually has slight increase in breast cancer, increase in heart attack, increase in dementia. Like you said, just because it fits does not mean it actually turns it properly.
Right. And so to further try to help that make sense is essentially the molecule that is synthetically made or pharmaceutical made, you know, it's kind of like this with this extra chain on. So it turns on what it should. So we'll say progesterone. And so it'll stop the bleeding, bind the GABA receptors like it's supposed to in order to stop bleeding and stop spasm of the uterus. But essentially it turns on estrogen alpha receptors and other estrogen receptors that it should not do that. So just as Dr. Brennan said earlier, bioidentical progesterone downregulates certain estrogen receptors, whereas Premarin, which is that synthetic pharmaceutical grade progestin, upregulates certain estrogen receptors. And so, as we talked about just a second ago, when you're binding to that receptor site with a synthetic pharmaceutical progestin, you're opening up all these doors that do not need to be open, and that's what causes increased cancer risk, increased problems, increases with depression, weight gain, all these significant side effects. But it's all about the molecule. So let's talk about testosterone first. Testosterone has hundreds of functions. Testosterone has been proven to have positive effects on mood, energy levels, well-being, sexual function, libido, lean muscle mass, and muscle strength, erythropoiesis, and bone mineral density. So erythropoiesis means increased red blood cells, cognition, and reduction of cardiovascular risk factors. So how can one hormone do so many things for our bodies?
Right.
It's insane. Why is that? Well, testosterone's main physiological function in all humans is to create and alter and increase protein synthesis. And so everything in your body is pretty much made out of proteins.
Right.
And so the muscle, the bone, hair, skin, and nails, connective tissue, organ systems, etc., are all proteins. And so the more capacity you have to generate more protein synthesis, you're able to repair and regenerate this tissue. So for example, in the brain, serotonin is a neurotransmitter, and once it crosses the synapse in the brain, once it goes from the presynaptic cleft to the postsynaptic cleft, you get well-being, right? So that's what serotonin does. But what is serotonin really? It's a derivative of tryptophan, which is an amino acid. And so with optimal testosterone levels, that's increased. Dopamine also, same thing. So dopamine is a little bit different, but it's a derivative of tyrosine. So it's amino acids. So dopamine is what's responsible for your reward system. So here's just a graph of that right there. We're just talking about how serotonin crosses the presynaptic cleft to the postsynaptic cleft. And once it does that, you get well-being. And so in a lot of traditional medicine, they'll use selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors. And so what that does is it plugs this channel here. So in theory, the serotonin will cross here, and if it bounces around here, it'll bounce off here and then eventually go across. Well, essentially, if you're making more serotonin in the first place, more is going to get across. Also, to add to that, selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors also have lots of side effects for this. Your body also doesn't like it. And so over time, you build up a tolerance to it. So if, for example, you start on, 20 milligrams of Prozac, you block the serotonin channel, it may be working a little bit for you for a while, but over a period of time, it decreases its effectiveness. And guess what happens? You have to increase the dose. Eventually, you're at the max dose that you can tolerate for that particular medication, and then you have to switch classes. And so...
Yeah, and the actual serotonin molecules themselves, 90% of that is made by bacteria in our gut. The bacteria in our gut are very important for the neurotransmitter production, and then the body transfers up to the brain where the testosterone incorporates it, like you talked in synaptic cleft. It's all biochemistry. The thing about this is our body, all these different systems never work in isolation. They're all integrated. I mean, a complex beyond words.
So estrogen also has hundreds of functions. Estrogen regulates the growth, development, and physiology of the human reproductive system and widely influences neuroendocrine, skeletal, adipose, cardiovascular systems. Estradiol not only increases bone density, but also increases bone plasticity. You know, talk about that for a second, how important that is, Dr. Brandon?
Yeah, you want something that's not hard and brittle. You want it to be strong and be able to pliable. And that the pliability actually keeps the strength up. The medication they use, the bisphosphonates that make people with osteoporosis, makes hard bone. Mm. When it does break, it shatters. You talk about your heart shatters.
Yeah.
And there's actually more broken hips and jaws on medication. So let's go back to the beginning. How is bone made? Testosterone, progesterone make the bone with 12 different minerals. Estrogen slows the reabsorption and production of that. So go back to how the body makes it. So why not continue that for life? Because osteoporosis kills more women than breast cancer, uterine cancer, and cervical cancer combined. It's crucially important to get a skeleton frame. And the skeleton frame in our adult age changes. 25% of it is new every year. Crucially, very active hormones. But strength, like you talk about, it's pliability, not firmness.
Very important. I used to work in an urgent care facility where we were giving Prolia injections to patients. And yeah, their bone density was increasing, but we'd see them at follow-up. And they'd still have a fall for whatever reason. And it would be like shattered glass in there. It was really hard to get cleaned out.
It makes the hard cortical bone. Our body makes natural cortical and tubercular together. So again, the body knows what it's doing. It has the right hormone levels.
And so estrogen has tons of functions, as we talked about. We just talked about osteoporosis and osteopenia specifically a minute ago, but it has lots of functions. And so estrogen's main physiologic function for all humans is it vasodilates. And vasodilatation is so important because vasodilation means opening and widening blood vessels. So guess what you get? More blood flow. So vasodilation increases blood flow to the brain, to the bone, all tissues of the body, resulting in less Alzheimer's, less dementia, osteoporosis, and osteopenia, which we talked about, better sexual function. How does Viagra work for men? It essentially vasodilates. It blocks an enzyme, but it vasodilates, right? So minoxidil that you put topically on your scalp, you know, to help regrow hair, that just vasodilates. That's all it does. So men who take estrogen blockers, they lose their hair. Yep. They get cardiovascular risk problems because they're not dilating those blood vessels anymore. They're constricting them.
That's all I think about that. Testosterone converts estrogen with men and women. There are three ways to eliminate these three pathways, 2, 16, and 4. But it's worse to have too low of estrogen than too high. High is symptomatic, too low is actually medical issues, right? And when you talk about that in women can start getting hot flashes, that's low estrogen. Harvard did a paper a few years ago, hot flashes are not just a nuisance. It's a sign that it's called an endothelial dysfunction sign. It's like a red light going off. And they've shown that increase in heart attack 200%. In fact, a woman has less heart attack when she's cycling. After menopause, her risk increases higher than a man. And the first sign of a heart attack is usually death. So this understand, keep that, the endothelial lining is the largest or active organ in our body. And what keeps that going is estrogen.
And so Dr. Brennan just talked about it, but the vasodilation, what estrogen does is dilates those blood vessels and therefore it decreases your blood pressure because you got a big wide vessel now. You got the same amount of fluid going through that vessel. And so that lowers the pressure on it. So therefore it lowers your heart attack and stroke risk. And like you just said, women have a lot less heart attacks and strokes until menopause. Until menopause. After menopause, men and women are the same. So here is just a figure showing you what vasodilation actually is. But what's so important about this slide here is you get increased transport of oxygen, nutrients, and glucose to every cell in your body when you have a dilated blood vessel. Also decreased blood pressure. And then you're removing the cellular waste products, like the cellular waste products that build up in our mitochondria when we eat too many carbohydrates.
Exactly. It's a more efficient system. That's why a younger system is more efficient.
So Dr. Brennan talked about it just a minute ago, but essentially we're talking about how everything works in unison. So this slide shows you've got this testosterone-driven protein synthesis, making more proteins, right? Along with estrogen's vasodilation effect or making blood vessels bigger and wide. And so these work together, and so you're able to repair and regenerate tissue much better on bioidentical hormone replacement therapy versus not. And so it's kind of like, you know, when you're 17 and you roll your ankle, you're out for a day or two. Do that now when you're, you know, my age and you're out
my
for
age,
2 or 3 weeks, right?
So that's your optimal bio.
Exactly. So let's talk about progesterone here. So progesterone has lots of functions as well. So it has, it maintains the endometrium during pregnancy, vasculation of the endometrium during ovulation. Progesterone also plays a role in bone formation, which we talked about earlier. But we talked about how it downregulates estrogen receptors, decreasing estrogen dominance symptoms. It binds to GABA receptors. So GABA receptors in the brain, right? And so what are those and what does that mean? So you have these receptor sites when they are bound with progesterone, it turns on the brakes. GABA is the brakes. So you sleep better, anxiety is better. But also in the uterus, so progesterone binds the GABA receptors there too, so you don't have a spasm and have a spontaneous abortion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, progesterone is used, as we've been doing for years. Progesterone is a uterine relaxer, and we use that for people with history of preterm labors or early second trimester miscarriages.
And so progesterone also stimulates the myelinization of axons during development and regeneration of myelin after injury and lesions like traumatic brain injuries and things of that nature for women. It also is referred to as remyelinization. So the myelin sheath, you talk about what that is, Dr. Brennan, what is that?
It's a fat covering over the nerve, right? It's insulation is what it is. The nerve is electronic. You have the insulation over that. That's made probably from cholesterol and vitamin D. And progesterone actually makes that grow. Remyelinization is key for actually the actual formation of the neurons. But in, you say in accidents, that's the key to remyelinization, helps prevent permanent disease.
Right, it's like multiple sclerosis and things like that.
That's a skip. Multiple sclerosis is a classical skip lesion where the nerve cannot keep its curve because there's lesions every distance between the
skin. So it's almost like having a power cord with the insulator on the outside.
100%. Insulation is a great word.
Okay. So here at OptimalBio, we always scrutinize your thyroid thoroughly.
There's two major energy sources in our body, our sex hormones and our thyroid, and they work synergistically together. As you're talking about here, T3 is, I call it, that's the gasoline of the thyroid. And every cell in the body needs T3 to turn on a thing called mitochondria. Mitochondria is our nuclear partner cell that turns oxygen into energy. Can't stress how important that is.
And so just to kind of to touch on that, essentially, your thyroid stimulating hormone is the gas pedal, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's just telling your thyroid what to do or to make more.
Right.
And so what does your thyroid make? It makes T4 and T3, also makes T1, T2, but T3 and T4, T4 is relatively inactive. T3 is active. And so what is T3? So T3 is a tyrosine molecule, which is a protein, right? So you need your testosterone levels to be optimal in order to create that tyrosine, perpetuate that. And it's surrounded by three iodine atoms. So here's actually a picture of the molecule here. And so this is tyrosine down here at the base of it. And then you've got your iodine molecules to it attached here. And so Dr. Brennan talked about, okay, so we know what T3 is. So it's tyrosine and three iodine atoms. But what does it do? Stimulates the mitochondria, right? And so when you're stimulating the mitochondria, you get more power to every single cell in your body.
What's the most, what body part is 35% by weight mitochondria?
It's your cardiac cells, it's your heart cells.
Exactly.
And so we also manage vitamin D here. Optimal Bio. Now, this is kind of a busy looking slide here, but essentially what it's going to say is your vitamin D levels over 65 or so decrease all cause cancer at 65. So if you go to traditional medicine and if they check your vitamin D level, the normal level they'll say is between 30 and 100.
If 30 protects rickets, osteomalacia, but like you said, over 65 decreases all-cause mortality from cancer.
All-cause cancer. So it's so important. So there's so many things you can do.
There's 20,000 genes we know in our genome as of now. We know that vitamin D affects at least 2,000 of them. And vitamin D is not a vitamin. It's an anabolic secretory. So it's actually another protein synthesis. It decreases cytokine storm, multiple functions of the immune system, the brain, the heart. We're talking about MS that helps protect the myelin sheath. It's just understand something that has so many functions has to be optimal levels we use.
And so if you think about that, kind of oversimplify that, vitamin D is your immune system, right? And so the higher your vitamin D level is, the more ability you have to recognize certain cancers or atypical cell growth and release what's called tumor necrosis factor to stop that. And then also you get some communicable disease prevention or help like coronavirus and influenza. I mean, if you're working in the ER or something like that and you get exposed to tuberculosis, those kinds of things.
Yeah, vitamin D is crucial.
So I was going to touch real quick on what's called dindolomethane. Now, dindolomethane, what is it? It sounds like this crazy big drug. But essentially, all it is broccoli and cruciferous vegetables. So if you eat broccoli and cruciferous vegetables, it goes into the stomach. And if you've got enough stomach acid, you're not taking proton pump inhibitors, it'll turn into what's called I3 carbonyl. I3 carbonyl has some anti-cancer properties, right? And then also when that goes into your stomach, into your gut, and mixes with the gut flora, it turns into dindolomethane. And so dindolomethane does a lot of things. It downregulates the estrogen alpha receptor in the prostate, so it helps prevent prostate cancer. And then it also downregulates the estrogen alpha receptor in the breast. And so there's different types of estrogen, Dr. Brandon. You want to talk about the three
different
types?
Well, there's three different types. E1, E2, and E3. E1, E2 is the one made by the ovary. It's the most potent one. It goes away at menopause. E1 dominates more in postmenopausal state. It's 17 times weaker, but it's more volume as you age. E3 is actually made by the placenta, the baby side. But the key thing, all three of these estrogens, is they have two receptors you talked about, an alpha and a beta. Alpha's potential growth, beta potentially negates growth. The E1, which dominates the menopause, is 5-1 alpha. E2, it's not like when you're young, is neutral, and placenta is one is dominates the alpha. That's why it's important to understand when we say estrogen causes cancer, which estrogen, which type, which time of your age, because you think about it, virtually all cancers are in the postmenopausal age.
Right.
That's what's the E1, which is more of an alpha receptor site. And that's why that's crucially important, because the metabolites of estrogen, all three go out either the 2, 16, or 4 pathway. The 16 and 4 pathway are increased alpha receptors. Premarin goes that direction, birth control goes that way, but bioidentical goes through the 2 pathway by that, which actually downregulates its own production and increases progesterone receptors, we saw before, negates breast cancer.
And so, you know, all that to say this, E1 is more dominant after menopause because you're no longer able to make your E2. Obviously, you're not pregnant, and so you don't make your E3. And so you get a dominance of E1. E1 just turns on too many receptors that can cause cancers and other issues.
Tissue growth, exactly.
And it does not vasodilate like estradiol and E3 does.
Exactly.
Iodine.
Oh, love it.
Yeah. So we talked earlier about T3. What is it? So it's tyrosine with 3 iodine atoms. But iodine is an essential substrate for the synthesis of thyroid hormones in the thyroid gland. It can also act as an antioxidant, as well as an antiproliferative and a pro-apoptotic factor, which apoptosis means cell death.
Dissolve.
Programmed cell death. And that's when you have atypical cells that are growing out of whack. And your body recognizes that and turns that off so it stops growing.
The key thing with that is with enough iodine in your body, it affects your thyroid. It goes to glandular cells, breast in women, prostate in men. And you have that, all those are saturated, then it makes that lipoprotein called delta-idolactone, which actually is a scavenger of cancer cells. Japan, their cancer, breast cancer rates are roughly 1 in 20. America's roughly 1 in 7. Their iodine rate is about 200 times higher than we take here, which we used to be in the 50s and 60s. The government took that out in 1979 and replaced it with another halogen called bromine, which has increased. With that going down, increases our cancer rates for the glandular cells. That's why it's crucially important. These minerals and trace minerals are crucial for overall health.
And so, Dr. Brand, I was talking about iodine, but it's very similar to fluoride and bromine, but it's good for you where fluoride and bromine are not. And so when you're taking iodine, you essentially detox from fluoride and bromine, right?
If you start taking it and you start feeling nauseous or just a headache or stomach ache, it's not iodine causing that. It's the bromine and fluoride leaving your body cells. And there's ways to actually help pee out faster. Himalayan salt or Celtic salt, a quarter teaspoon of that with 8 ounces of water a couple times a day. That for a couple of days, help flush the bromine and the fluoride out. And then you start adding up your iodine again.
And so he was talking about iodine levels being 100 times more than the U.S. recommended daily allowance. And so why is that? Japan, typically Okinawa, right? Yeah. But why?
See, there's seaweed.
Seaweed, right? Seaweed, fresh seafood. We just don't eat enough of that.
It's just, these are minerals your body, it's the fourth most important mineral in our body. And we just don't know about that because we're not, we don't educate ourselves.
Why are we taking it out of the food supply?
I don't know. Is it cheaper? I have no clue. I have no idea. But they took it out. And it's not in salt, because salt, when it's air, disappears anyway. It really has to be a supplementation in that. And again, the amount we recommend is what we used to have. Dr. Brownstein has a great book called Thyroid Disorders. There's another book called Iodine Crisis that goes through all these things. I really recommend fully people spend time studying what goes in their body.
And so estrogen dominance too, estrogen dominance, iodine downregulates that estrogen alpha receptor too.
100%. And that's why it's important to balance out probiotics, because you have that enzyme glutoglucuronidase in the gut that self-regulates your estrogen levels. And that's important for both men and women.
Fascinating. So why do we do what we do? So we talked about everything that we do here at Optimal Bio. Everything we do has a specific and important purpose. We increase protein synthesis, which repairs and regenerates tissue. We help perpetuate vasodilation, big wide blood vessels, which protects the brain, bone, and heart. We decrease the risk of osteoporosis, make bone more flexible, and help avoid dementia and Alzheimer's. We help stimulate energy by innervation of the mitochondria of all the cells. And we help protect the breast and uterus while also stimulating myelin regeneration. We help reduce anxiety, depression, insomnia, progesterone. We detoxify the body and help reduce the risk of cancer and disease, iodine and dimethylamethane.
That's called Optimal Bio, Optimal Life. Well, John, Johnny, I can't thank you enough for the great work you've done on this. This summary is just a hope to stimulate people to want to do their own research.
Please research.
Yeah, knowledge is power. Please do your work. We have a ton of resources at optimalbio.com across all our social medias. We have a book, The Hormone Handbook. We have a new book coming out of our store. Again, please educate yourself, arm yourself, because you're the most important person.
Thank you.